Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard another great episode of the Sing Second Podcast. We are emerging from the dark ages. Chris Cervello is with me, the co-host and producer running Old Man Radio. He's just coming off the golf course, but it's spring break every week down in Palm Coast, Florida, ladies and gentlemen. Up here in Annapolis, Maryland, it is in the 50s. I might be going out to the Naval Academy Golf Course Friday with friends of the pod and sponsors, Scott Shooter and Ed Bilderback, including a couple of other fine gentlemen from the Naval Academy Golf Course. But, you know, Chris, I'm just cold opening here. It's hard for me to concentrate on Alumni Association and Foundation stuff. People want to know, the listeners want to know what makes us tick. And what's making me tick right now is that the Baltimore Orioles are 11-2 in spring training. I am wearing my Baltimore Orioles vest, my favorite vest. We are, as we record this, exactly 3 weeks away from you and I standing out in front of Sliders and Pickles and getting after it for Orioles opening day, a 3:05 first pitch on Thursday, the 28th of March. But Chris, I have to tell you, my man, I am super excited. If people are coming back to the Naval Academy for reunions or anything this summer, and you think you can just walk up and go to an empty Camden Yards, that's not going to happen. I'm going to put it out to you right now. Who are you most impressed with so far?
Probably Colton Cowser at this point.
Yeah, eat your words.
Yeah, I was very disappointed about him last year. I referred to it as the Colton Cowser experiment and didn't think that it went well, but really happy to see that he's hitting the ball. Really happy to see young Mr. Halladay hitting the ball. So, man, I hope all the stars stay aligned. I don't know. I feel like we've been here before, John. I feel like, you know, I'm waiting to step on the banana peel.
Yeah. When is the Peanuts character taking right. the football away, Lucy to us? I don't know. I'm super excited. Kobe Mayo's hitting. Julio Teheran is like pitching like it's 5 years ago, 6 years ago. It's just an exciting time to be an Orioles fan. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that you tuned in to listen to our discussion about the Alumni Association and the Naval Academy. But starting now until probably November, when we have the World Series Victory Parade in downtown, maybe in Fells Point, you're going to hear a lot of Orioles talk. And, who knows, maybe we even get Orioles legend and current member of the Naval Academy Golf Course, Cal Ripken, on the side. He is now a new member of the ownership team, so I think it makes total sense.
I remember going to opening day as a second class, and my company officer made me wear my uniform, which lasted all of about half the ride up the BW Parkway as I stuffed it into my backpack. I guess to relate it to the Naval Academy, maybe there'll be some mids there. Some Maryland mids will get out to see opening day or opening weekend. I mean, this is just a great time of year. You're spring sporting it, spring intramurals. You're starting to think about graduation. Baseball's in the air. It's just a great time to be a mid, to be a grad, to be an Oriole fan.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, just in case you're wondering, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a more substantial update in next week's podcast, maybe about some roster cuts. what we do with the glut of infield and outfield talent when we, probably need some bullpen arms and maybe one more starter. Why does Bruce Zimmerman strike out four people in a row and then give up four earned? I don't know. But let's get on to the urgent issues of the week. Here we are. I know that, Chris Cervello, you can regale us with all of your stories from spring break, but tomorrow starts for the midshipmen spring break. We have a lot of cool things going on. The Midshipmen Action Group is going out to Puget Sound, Washington, and doing two community relations projects. With Boys and Girls Clubs and other organizations out there in Puget Sound. We're trying to get them hooked up with our chapter and parent club leadership. You know, you've got a full baseball schedule, full lacrosse schedule. There'll be a lot going on while some mids are down in Cancun getting after it with tequila shots. It's business as usual for a lot of the athletes up here. Most notably, we were just talking about baseball. The baseball team is back. New coach Chuck Restano. I have to tell you, the great thing about this building, ladies and gentlemen, is that it is a very short walk over to Max Bishop Stadium. If you've never been to the new Alumni Center, it is literally three wood. Well, maybe a Chris Cervello three wood. For me, it's like three wood, seven iron, from the FAC to the baseball stadium. And it's just a great opportunity to walk over and take in a game. New regime in there. I mean, we wish Costi all the best in his retirement. But Coach Restano has these guys playing, you know, with some wins, some losses here early on. But they've got a full schedule during spring break. Looking forward to watching them. And unfortunately, the women's lacrosse team, they were kind of the bright light for us in the early seasons of sports here. They got their first loss to the Fighting Dragons of Drexel last night. They fought back. They were down 10-7, came back and tied it 10-10. You blinked your eyes. Drexel went up 13-10, and eventually Navy cut the deficit to 13-12 with about 30 seconds to go, and then they were unable to get the victory. So the first loss for Cindy Timshel's ladies. And then, of course, you know, the rest of the spring sports still going strong. Tennis, men's lacrosse. You've got the swimmers who just won the ECAC championships here in Annapolis. You've got men's and women's track and field, the outdoor, that's coming up, particularly the star match against Army. So it's going to be a busy time. Chris, this is my opportunity to ask you your favorite midshipman spring break story. I know it involved the tiki bar in some way.
No, you know, I actually, so one year I went snowmobiling in Yellowstone with a friend of the pod, Nate Connor. He was from Wyoming. And I, at that point, I don't think I'd ever been west of the Mississippi. And so certainly had never seen like real mountains. So I never did the like go crazy at the beach. Another year, Nate and I went to Denver. His parents had a house in Denver as well. And we hung out in Denver and kind of, you know, went bar hopping in Lodo, and all the fun that Denver has. And then the rest was just kind of chilling out in Southern Maryland. So it was not, and Tiki Bar opening wasn't for another month. So, it was my spring break stories were pretty tame as compared to maybe some others.
Tell me a little bit about, because you and I have talked about basically everything else in your life, but I don't know if we've ever talked about this part. And this has relevance now based on things that are happening here at the Alumni Association. A couple of weeks back, we did what's called Commissioning 101, where on a Saturday of President's Day weekend, we brought in as many parents as wanted to register for a briefing, basically 2-hour briefing about what to expect during commissioning week. And, you know, again, I make fun of a lot of parents and call them helicopter parents and everything like that. But you know what? When your kid's graduating from a service academy, that only happens once. And you want to make sure that that shit is done right. You know, so they fly in, they're asking a bunch of really good questions, and they want to know how to execute this commissioning week, very well. We're prepping to bring in the entire class of 2024 here at the end of this month for what's called regimental receptions, where we introduce the firsties to everything that the Alumni Association and Foundation can do for them. But for you, Chris, you know, plebe year is a chance to get away. Sophomore year and junior year, I assume, are just kind of obligatory, a chance to, you know, have a spring break and vacation. But where is your head at, you know, as a firstie for spring break? You know, like you know, come spring break, whether you're graduating or not, you know, there's very little up in the air. Maybe for a couple of people down there competing for the anchorman spot, it's touch and go, and you're really worried about whether you're going to graduate or not. But is spring break kind of that final Rubicon for you? Like, hey, this is our last chance to really hang out and get after it before, you know, we blink our eyes and it's May 24th and we're going our separate ways.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, our first year, a lot of us came back early and got together as a company, all the firsties. Some of us did it at my house and then eventually went up to Annapolis. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we kind of used that as a way of celebrating our company and like this final run to the end. I don't know that I was really, though, like thinking 100% about commissioning week yet. I think it wasn't really until like April that it was like, holy cow. Like, I mean, because we didn't, I don't remember the, I think I mentioned this before, I don't remember the briefings like you guys described. I mean, a lot of it was based on gouge. Maybe you were starting to sign up for different things like your invitations and tickets and things like that. But, and I'm sure it's, you know, different for sort of each kind of generation of classes. But for us, this was like, okay, like you said, the hurdle of the dark ages was over. Let's get ready to, you know, to start thinking about graduation week.
I think too, you know, a lot of this is a very unique class. You know, we've talked a lot, particularly when this was a sports podcast, about how COVID affected the athletes. But this was the first class when they came in, they were COVID plebe summer. You know, there wasn't that huge thing in T court with all the parents. You know, this was a very, very unique group of people. I'm super hopeful, you know, that they're taking this time and getting ready, you know, for their departure from the Naval Academy and thinking back with fondness, at least on 3 years of it, because the first year couldn't have been fun to think about and got them off onto a tough start. You know, we'll see. I mean, unfortunately, and knock on wood, that's the sound of me doing it. You know, if you started out your plebe year with COVID, yeah, you're definitely in the threat sector for having the first indoor graduation since 1987. Huh. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. These guys, they are deserving of some really good things. Some late announcements on that before we go to break and bring in our two interviews. And we're really happy, ladies and gentlemen, to be joined by class of 03 grad, Draper Labs employee, former student of John Schofield, Rebecca Myers. We're going to be bringing you impactful interviews all month long in March for Women's History Month from women graduates who have gone out there and made a difference. And then we're also happy to be joined. We're bringing back our alumni business segment this week. We're going to be joined by a local Monterey realtor and former Navy basketballer, Grant Vermeer. He's going to tell us about how he stays successful, not only as a realtor, but he is also a basketball official, using that basketball knowledge that he gained here, to give back to young athletes in the Monterey Peninsula area there. So we've got two great interviews. Last thing before we get to those, we still have yet to hear, and this was the main question during Commissioning 101, and it's probably the main question people are asking as we approach graduation: who will the graduation speaker be? We can tell you right now with certainty, this is a non-POTUS graduation year for us. So it's probably going to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, maybe the Secretary of Defense, who knows. But you know, it makes it a lot easier, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't have to go through all of the security for a president or a vice president graduation speech. We will probably know when we come back from spring break, and we'll break it here on the pod if we can. Before we go to break, Chris Cervello, who was your graduation speaker?
The Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense Bill Cohen. The class of 98 had President Clinton. And we were a non-president year. So it was Richard Danzig was the Secretary of the Navy, and Bill Cohen was the SecDef. I don't remember a thing that they said. Not a word. It was hot. It was 90 degrees. I remember the Blue Angels. And I remember throwing my cap in the air and then hugging everybody and my dad having tears in his eyes. But I don't remember what Bill Cohen said.
It was back then, ladies and gentlemen, that that Chris Cervello, a PAO to be, was already taking notes on what Bill Cohen was saying and what Secretary Danzig was saying and what the CNO was saying. And that's how this is the behind the curtain view into public affairs, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Cervello is the author of CNO Green Earth's wear sunscreen. You know, that's where all these great speeches were created. Well,
that's
with all of our babbling about baseball and commissioning week aside, we are going to go to break. When we come back, we have a great interview with Rebecca Myers. She talks about how Lieutenant Schofield back in the day from 2000 to 2003 was probably one of the best instructors at the Naval Academy. Stick with us. This is Sing Second.
The Sing Second podcast is sponsored by Scott Shooter and the Shrek Realtor and Crew team. Scott Shooter is truly committed to making your real estate transaction an enjoyable, stress-free process. His work ethic, honesty, and pride in his job were instilled at an early age and were reinforced through his education at the U.S. Naval Academy and his service in the military in the E2D platform. Those traits provide him with the tools to provide you with the professional expert service that you desire and deserve. Those traits are the foundation of his service to you and your agent. It is not just lip service, it is a way of life. You can start your home search by visiting Scott Shooter's listings and property search page. Please visit scottshooter.com. That's scottshooter.com. Scott Shooter, the Shrek Realtor and Crew, a proud sponsor of the Sing Second Podcast. All right. Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the Sing Second Podcast. It is time for our alumni interview segment, and I've got a great one for you, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked a lot about my favorite tour in the Navy, my 2.5 years teaching seamanship and navigation in Luce Hall, giving the briefs to the classes about the merits of being a surface warfare officer, where the original phraseology, SWO doesn't suck, you suck, was born. Lo and behold, in one of my exchanges with alumni this week, Rebecca Myers sent me a note saying, "Hey, was that you?" And sure enough, it was me. I talked Rebecca into coming onto the podcast. So Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the pod. How are you doing today?
Really good. How are you?
I am doing all right. So give us a quick intro. Where were you originally from? What made you want to go to the Naval Academy? What company were you in? And kind of take it from there.
Yep. I was Rebecca Bomez at the time. I graduated in the class of 2003, and I came from a tiny town in Central Florida called Winter Haven. And my parents were not military. In fact, when I first heard about the military academies, I did not realize that you wore uniforms. My mother quickly made sure I knew. And then I attended summer seminars, so I knew what I was getting into, but I really wanted to be a pilot and then an astronaut. So I selected, regardless of the amazing briefing that you gave for surface, I service selected pilot, and I made it through about 6 months of flight school, through primary, was selecting helicopters, and I was medically disqualified for migraine with aura. And if you've ever had that, you can't see very well. So I think the Navy made the right decision, but it was pretty disappointing, to say the least, and having to figure out my next route from there. While I was at the Academy, I mainly did musical stuff. So I was in Glee Club, I was in the Drum and Bugle Corps, and I did Masqueraders Theater, played clarinet in the orchestra, and things like that kept me sane. And I was in 13th Company when I graduated, but we switched companies twice. So I was in actually three different companies when I was there.
Oh, nomadic, which kind of prepares you for the Navy. But I'll tell you what, you had to have been very well prepared, you took, those sort of nomadic and crazy experiences. And right when you got out, I was very informed by the fact that you jumped right into probably one of the hardest things you could do, and that is teaching in high school. Was that just a natural landing spot? You know, for 2 years you taught algebra, pre-calc, trigonometry, all the things that I failed in high school. So I'm super happy that I would have never run across Rebecca Bomez. But you know, you were also the varsity track coach. How did that kind of prepare you? We'll get into what you're doing today, which is incredibly impressive. But how did that sort of intermediary prepare you for the success that you're experiencing now?
Yeah, it was pretty humbling. I mean, I moved back. I fought staying in the military. You know, 9/11 happened when I was a junior, a second class. And it happened right before our class signed our, right after our class signed our 2-for-7 papers.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being able to serve after that, where I had classmates who were already, you know, in combat situations, and I was really expecting to be able to serve my country. So I moved back in with my parents. This is the fall of 2004, and my mother suggests that I become a substitute teacher. And through that, I ended up being a high school teacher, like you mentioned. So I think there was a level of not getting what you want every time that you're at the academy, and sometimes things not going the way that you planned, that really helped me be able to be flexible in that situation. And I went back to the county where I was from, and I taught in this very small Title I high school that was very impoverished. And it was a good experience for me. But during that time, I realized I was not going to be a teacher full time. And I decided to pursue my master's degree in aerospace engineering, which is what I had gotten my bachelor's degree in at the Naval Academy.
So that sound, ladies and gentlemen, you heard while Rebecca was talking was the sweet sound of utterly underselling herself. So when she went to get her master's, she went to the small liberal arts school in Boston called MIT. MBD, you know, like, I'm just going to MIT for, you know, small graduate degree, where you got a 4.8 GPA, which, I mean, that's outrageous. So,
and that's the fault of that not getting a 5, because on MIT it's a 5-point scale. The fault of that is another alum. Her name is Missy Cummings. She has a background all of her own. She's an amazing teacher, but I took probably the hardest class I've ever taken, which is design of experiments, and it's really statistical analysis of how you measure things. Incredibly difficult class, and shout out to Professor Cummings, because that was really good. But I definitely got a B in that class. That was not easy.
Oh man. Well, so you go to MIT, and now you've got an undergraduate degree from the best service academy in the nation. You've got a graduate degree from MIT, and it kind of keeps you in the Boston area. Well, not really immediately. You get into that kind of sector, you work for Honeywell, and now you're back in Cambridge working for Draper. Tell everyone about what your, you know, what your current role is, and you know, I mean, I assume that in this world of systems engineering, you are doing some pretty incredible, like, cutting edge stuff.
Yeah, what's great is, you know, I knew what Draper was, and so I had an opportunity to move, you know, change, pivot careers a little bit into, you know, the Defense Department after I got out of grad school. And I worked a lot of background jobs that led me to Draper. And Draper is a nonprofit laboratory that used to be attached to MIT, and now it is an independent, standalone, not-for-profit. It's similar to the way that a federally funded research and development center operates, except we get to choose our own strategic missions and priorities. And Draper's mission overall is to solve the nation's most challenging technical problems. And that could be in any area. You know, we do have a large contract with guidance, navigation, and control for the Navy, for the nuclear, for one of the strategic programs. You know, and the accuracy and precision of what we make is really, really important as far as providing the nation's security, national security interests. We also do things like coronavirus detection, bioengineering, biomedical research. And then we have a lot of space systems applications. We are most well known for designing the flight computer that got the astronauts to the moon during the original Apollo missions. And that's MIT laboratory that then became Draper was the people that designed that computer, that flight computer.
I mean, just looking at one of the things, you were the program manager for the Fault Tolerant Flight Computer Program. This is obviously cutting edge stuff. And we talk all the time about grads doing impactful things out of uniform. And this is definitely one of those cases. You talked a little bit about how what you learned at the academy prepared you for the disappointment of not making it through the flight program, but you picked yourself up, you know, brushed yourself off, taught at high school, which no one could pay me to do, and then went to get your master's at basically the hardest school there is for that particular specialty. What else did the Naval Academy teach you that you rely upon today?
That's a really great question. I think the thing that I took away from it the most, and I mean, I did not have a pleasant experience. I tried to find people who were willing to support one another. I think the Naval Academy in the last 20 years has come a long way to instilling an amount of camaraderie that isn't just based on if you're really great, we'll be friends with you and the popularity contest that comes from that. But really, if you're a great leader, you're looking for how each person brings potential to the table. And sometimes that potential is not recognized by traditional means. So maybe the person who's failing their physical fitness test has so much to bring to the table in other areas, then they can help your team diversify and be strong in other ways. Obviously, it's easier to do in a civilian environment where you can highlight those things and there aren't these draconian measures taken if you fail a specific requirement. But I like to think that that's kind of where I decided to spend my energy and my time. And, you know, now I'm the director of systems engineering at Draper, and I have a team of over 350 engineers in my directorate. And that's kind of what we talk about a lot. We talk about the culture of holding each other accountable, but also making sure that we all are able to shine and figure out ways that we can bring our best foot forward and really help with the strategic mission that we have.
Well, on top of that, and I'll let you go here in a minute after this, but on top of that, you know, obviously very smart and some really good perspective there about the experience at the Naval Academy. You are obviously a very good problem solver, and that as we were setting up this podcast interview, you were telling me that you were camping with 10-year-olds this past weekend. And if anyone's been on the East Coast here in the last 5 to 10 days, Cambridge, Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen, is not like St. Lucia. It's not warm. So again, you know, teaching in high school, going to MIT, and then camping with 10-year-olds in very cold weather. How do you rank what's the hardest?
Oh, that's not fair. I still think being a mid is very, very hard. Grad school was different in a harder way. But I would say 10-year-olds in the snow is it's exciting. You know, they keep you on your toes. I try to give back to my community and I, you know, get involved. I'm also a Blue and Gold officer. So shout out to that program. If you do feel like you weren't able to give back as much as you wanted, or you want to kind of try to help bring along the next group of potential midshipmen, you know, it's a great program to help with. And the goal of that program is to shine a light onto what the candidate is as a whole person, and to make sure the admissions board sees all of their facets, rather than a gatekeeping operation to kind of keep the riffraff out of the school, like the old grads might say.
You almost sounded like Bruce Fleming there.
Oh no.
Well, no, I joke, of course, but Rebecca, you've taken all of my talking points about the merits of your education here. So interesting to hear about Draper. You know, I'm sure that you get a lot of smart Naval Academy grads as they're getting out, who want to go into industries like these. If you're listening out there, you know, certainly look up Rebecca Myers on LinkedIn and then start feeling bad about how undereducated and underperforming you are in life. That happened to me for basically an entire weekend. But Rebecca, it's the highlight of my day to talk to grads, particularly grads that I interacted with when I was a lieutenant. We thank you so much for coming on the pod. And if you ever need anything from the Alumni Association and Foundation, please reach out.
All right. Thank you very much. It was great to talk to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca Myers of Draper. We are going to go to break. When we come back, Chris Cervello and I are going to go into our alumni business segment. Stick with us. This is Sing Sec.
The Sing Second podcast is brought to you by Stratus Core Technologies. Stratus Core Technologies is a leading small business provider of information technology services to America's warfighters. Headquartered in Virginia Beach, Virginia, their 230-plus employees have been delivering premier quality services in software and network engineering, enterprise architecture, afloat installation and maintenance, IT operations management and cybersecurity, for the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps since 2015. Team Stratus has a global footprint, with staff located all over the United States and 11 destinations around the world, including Singapore, Japan, Guam, Korea, Greece, and Germany. Stratus Core Technologies is the provider of choice when the nation's most difficult technological problems need the most enterprising solutions. The Sing Second podcast is very proud to have Stratus Core Technologies as one of our premier sponsors. Please check out Stratus Core Technologies online for your information technology services solutions.
All right, great interview with Rebecca Myers. Always happy to hear from my former students, particularly the ones who don't hate me. But remember, ladies and gentlemen out there, Lieutenant Schofield did not write, and I'm proud of this fact, did not write a single mapper. And if you don't know what a mapper is, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a D or an F in a class, your prof has to write a midshipman action performance review. I don't know if that's what mapper means. But I never wrote one. You know, if you worked hard, you know, and made me laugh, yeah, you got a C or above. I'm glad that Andy Phillips is no longer the academic dean and he doesn't have to hear that. Hey, we're going to do our business segment right now, ladies and gentlemen. Grant Vermeer, hell of a basketball player back in the day, an even better dude, working now as a realtor in the Monterey Peninsula. So if you're like Chris Cervello, if you're a smarty pants, if you're graduating from the Naval Academy this coming spring and you're going right to NPS for some kind of a graduate degree and you need some place to live, you're looking at investing your first class loan in something that'll pay off down the line, particularly when Chris Cervello and I need to stay at your place to play podcasts. We'd like you to talk to Grant Vermeer. So here is our alumni business segment with Grant Vermeer. Grant, you know, this is an audio medium, but behind him is his Navy number 22 jersey. you know, and even another 22 jersey from Yale, which I think might be his sister. We'll have him explain that out. But Grant, welcome to the podcast. And just really quick, walk us from, you know, your midshipman days. What company were you in? You obviously played basketball. And then where did you go after that?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me come on. This is super fun. Quick explanation on the Yale jersey. Yeah, my little sister actually played basketball at Yale as well. We're a big basketball family, if that wasn't obvious. We actually have a third jersey. My brother, he actually played on the club team at Stanford and on the varsity team. He had multiple Division III offers. He could have been played Division III basketball, but he was more interested in academics than basketball. He didn't have the same love and passion like we did, so ended
Stanford's
up turning it down.
But that, you know?
Stanford's not a bad place. So I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. Grew up in Northern California. Came out to the academy. I was in the 26th company in Annapolis. Rough Riders, baby. We're big Teddy Roosevelt fans over in 26th company in 8-0. Was a cyber operations major, commissioned into the cryptologic warfare community. Shout out to Admiral Ty and Admiral Carter for really making the direct commission into the cryptologic warfare community a possibility together. That was a dream come true for me. So I did my time at Fort Meade, deployed on 5 different submarines during my time supporting the direct support mission. Then went up to Groton. And when I was on my shore tour, I joined up with my mother, who's been a longtime real estate agent in Northern California. And was doing stuff from behind the scenes, learning from her, getting mentored, working on contracts, doing all the research, all the different things that are associated with being a real estate agent behind the scenes. I got to join up with her and learn that while I was stationed up in Connecticut. And then since then, I've gotten out and been a full-time real estate agent and professional out in Northern California.
So, you know, the origination of your appearance on the pod here just started with, you know, me seeing you on LinkedIn. How have you used, you know, it's not like the old days of realtors like pounding the streets, throwing up flyers, making phone calls. How have you been able to leverage, you know, social media, particularly LinkedIn, to engage, you know, in that sort of business development?
Yeah, I think it's this idea of getting your message out in general. You need to meet people where they're at. And in order to meet home buyers, people who have the ability to qualify and purchase homes, those professionals are on LinkedIn, right? And I think I learned this from another Naval Academy grad who's amazing in this space, Lauren Dempsey, and she's a big person on LinkedIn, right? And so this is something that I've been trying to get across. And for me, it's like, how can I provide a little bit of value about a military base that isn't as well known as San Diego or as Norfolk. Again, the Naval Postgraduate School. There's the FinMoc out there, small MeTalk community. But Monterey, people don't really know about Monterey until they got orders there for the first time, right? And that's my home up in Northern California. I spent all my weekends as a kid out in Monterey. Like, that is, I have the fondest memories of being there. So to kind of fuse my passions of, one, loving Northern California, but being able to then support the military community that's heading up there, that's kind of where I found my niche, and I absolutely love it.
Well, shout out to Lauren Dempsey, not only doing the realtor thing in Denver, where I grew up, go Broncos, but also a former Navy PAO and his Grant. And everyone knows Navy PAOs are the very, very tip of the spear. Grant, what lessons did you learn, you know, in your tutelage and in your time under Ed DeCellis, Emmett Davis, being a varsity athlete? You know, we talk a lot about the lessons learned, you know, upon the fields of friendly strife or sown the seeds of victory. You know, what lessons do you still draw on from your athletics, you know, that inform you and help you, you know, as you're in the grind as a realtor now?
Yeah, I think there's two things. One, it's just it's a pure amount of grit. Like, either people are going to work hard or they're not going to work hard, right? And at my point, it's, how do you know your role, accept your role, and excel in your role? That was a big thing that I learned at Navy basketball, right? And I think, you know, in the real estate world, this is a huge decision for a lot of people, right? This is a massive decision to purchase a home. And I know that my role is to, one, know the market, two, do a mass amount of research to make sure they're set up for success, to kind of have the most competitive strategy in order to get offers accepted, and then be a great communicator about what the process is going to look like. And so there's a certain level of grit and hard work that I really take to heart, that I always want to be kind of the most hardworking person, because I know this is an extremely important decision for you. And I want to make sure that you have everything you need to make a great decision, right? And then the second piece is, be a great communicator, right? Make sure that everyone understands and is aware of the process that's about to come. And then make sure that you're actually helping them, educating and guiding them, so that way they understand what's happening. And it's not just like, hey, trust me, I know what we're doing, like, let's just do it. Like, no, I want this to be an educational, informative experience. That way you feel comfortable and confident through the entire process. So hard work and grit, and then communication were the biggest things that I had kind of pulled from my time as an AB basketball player and brought into the real estate world.
Grant, when you have an opportunity to talk to people, not only about this incredibly important decision they're making with real estate, particularly in a market that has higher rates now, higher prices, mm-hmm. and again, it's an existential decision, you know, what do you, you know, what's the secret sauce there? You know, I know communicating and being empathetic, you know, but how do you find these engagements going now in such a unique market? Because gone are the days a few years ago when it was 3% rates, you know, and 6-7% rate time in an area that has such a high cost of living like Northern California. How do you build in that? You mentioned the niche, but how do you build in and stay successful in that niche?
Yeah, I think it's kind of multifaceted, but I think the first thing is really communicating to people that, again, kind of regardless of the interest rate environment, I want them making decisions that are the right decision for them, right? Home ownership is not the right decision for everyone at every moment in their life. And so I think the first conversation in a buyer consult is, hey, does this really make sense for you, right? Because again, if you're a young, let's say a single 03, and you have no problem living with somebody else, right? Like, you're not desiring kind of a home with a yard that you're going to live with your significant other and kids or dogs, or whatever the case is, and you're willing to rent out a room, then potentially purchasing a home in the Seaside or Marina area that you're then able to rent out to a room to another student could make a ton of financial sense, where you're house hacking your way through what you would pay less in rent while you're building equity in a very high appreciation area of the Monterey Peninsula. And then, you know, again, as the rate environment starts to decrease, again, the ability to refinance presents itself, and you can really maximize that value that you're pulling from the property. So those are different things that we're considering. One is, does this really make sense for you? Because I don't want you making a decision that doesn't make sense. Some people are so obsessed with this idea of being a homeowner when they don't really fully understand what comes with home ownership and all of the responsibilities and potential downsides and effects and things that you have to deal with, right? So I think for me, it's really having that first initial conversation and being like, does this make sense? Do you really want it? And if it does make sense and you do really want it, we can find those opportunities that make sense for you, especially in the Monterey area, because the seaside, the marina areas, they're growing. There's a ton of new construction in marina. Seaside has an ability at a price point. Again, everything's relative, right? But at a more affordable price point that are still in a great location to be very convenient to your time at the Naval Postgraduate School. So I think it's finding the right place once you know that this is the right decision for somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what, grads out there, if you're a smarty pants and on your way to NPS, or if you're just looking for a nice place to retire, second what Grant says, what a gorgeous place. And also, you know, a couple of nice golf courses up there. No big deal.
Just a couple.
Yeah, just a few. Grant, as we go out, how can grads find you? What would you recommend? What's your contact information? Because we're all about taking care of alumni businesses here. Let them know how to find you now.
No, I really appreciate it. I've really focused, kind of saying, on building this around supporting the Naval Academy graduate and military officers in Monterey. First is LinkedIn. You can find me at Grant Vermeer on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to connect with you. And I post a lot on LinkedIn. You can also go to thevermeergroup.com. So my last name, Vermeer, thevermeergroup.com. And you can always send me an email at grant@thevermeergroup.com. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. Again, my thing, kind of what I just mentioned earlier, I'm really interested in trying to learn about you, your situation, and then how I can help you in that situation, right? And it's not a one piece fit all situation. So, would love the opportunity just to get to know you and see how I can help.
All right, Grant, we love talking to grads out there who are making a difference. Again, you don't have to be an admiral to be a person of character and consequence out there, ladies and gentlemen. And Grant Vermeer is that. That is our 5 quick minutes, which actually turned into 12 or 13. But you know, who's counting when we're having a great conversation? Grant, good luck. And if there's anything else we can do for you in the future, just reach out. Grant Vermeer is our alumni business segment this week. Stick with us. When we come back from the break, Chris Ravello and I will take this baby out. This is Sing Second.
Sing Second Podcast is sponsored by ProMD Health. ProMD Health is a state-of-the-art medical practice comprised of several locations, all specializing in non-surgical treatments and procedures to help patients look younger on the outside and feel younger on the inside. At ProMD Health, their unique personal approach to medicine, coupled with their cutting-edge anti-aging treatments, provide their patients with unsurpassed care in a relaxing setting. They cater to patients that require the best in personalized medical care. Please visit ProMDHealth.com, visit their office in Annapolis. Friend of the pod, Scott Melamed, has been the original sponsor of Sing Second, and we encourage you to visit the website for your non-surgical medical needs.
All right, Chris, we're back. Let's take this baby out. Again, next week is a really exciting week. We've been talking about the class of 87. A lot of 87 interface here in the last week or so. We were really happy to be joined by the class of 87's Luis Polar. You might know him as Admiral Luis Polar, the chief of naval operations for the entire Peruvian Navy. He came to town here this past week, along with the CO of the Peruvian Navy Tallship Union, which is on an around-the-world cruise. The commanding officer of that tall ship is a 1996 graduate of the Naval Academy. His name is Jose Arce. So Captain Arce and Admiral Pilar both came back home this past week as Naval Academy graduates representing their home country of Peru. It is a good opportunity for us to remind everyone that just about every year, 60 international students come in and assimilate themselves into the brigade of midshipmen. Now, do they go out and serve on, on a frigate or a U.S. ship or in the U.S. Marine Corps? No, they go back to their home countries. In this particular case, this was, in the words and the research of CNO Admiral Lisa Franchitti, the first time that an exchange student from the Naval Academy has risen to the rank of Chief of Naval Operations for their home country. So the Chief of Naval Operations got to spend time with Admiral Pilar the other day. His company mate and really good friend, the director of our legacy programs here at the Alumni Association and Foundation, Wes Huey, got to spend some time with Luis Pilar. They were company mates and really good friends. That was a cool thing to watch. So having the class of 87 here was really awesome. We're going to follow up that 87 awesomeness by talking to Michigan State head assistant Doug Wojcik. He was David Robinson's point guard back in the mid-80s. Proud member of the class of 87. He's going to talk to us a little bit about March Madness and what being a premier coach at one of the top programs in the country is all about. And then we'll give the 87 love a little bit of a break. Chris, really quick before I lose the thread on this, because I wanted to ask you, did you have in your company any international students, or have you like kept track of the 99 internationals?
I was just thinking about that. We did not have any international students in our company. And no, I really haven't stayed in touch with any of the international folks. So that you have any thinking there. So now I'm going to have to dig through my lucky bag and, you know, find a few and see if I can find them on LinkedIn or Facebook.
Well, I'll throw you a lifeline here because I want to be able to pub your other podcast, the Defense and Aerospace Report. So you just had, you know, or Bago Maradian, your business partner with the Defense and Aerospace Report, just had an 08 grad on the Defense and Aerospace Report. The founder of Shield AI, Brandon Tsang.
Brandon Tsang, former Spec War guy, SEAL. He and his brother started this company. If you get a chance to listen to this interview, wow, what a smart guy. What a not only does he come across as a guy that understands the AI and how artificial intelligence is helping to make the battlefield better for warfighters. But he has really been successful at being not only a technologist, but an entrepreneur. And so real proud to listen to that and hear the great advice that he has in dealing with the Defense Department and how to start and be successful in business. And so, yeah, check that out. It's the Defense and Aerospace Report podcast, and it was our Tuesday podcast. Really happy to be able to do that.
We'll share it on our social media channels as well, ladies and gentlemen. Really, really interesting interview. Lastly, as I go out, this is a reminder that, you know, the next issue of Shipmate will be hitting your mailboxes probably by the beginning of April. In case you didn't know, Shipmate is always available online, and we're going to start a really big project here in the next couple of months, ladies and gentlemen, to reach out to all of you who are alums, who are lifetime members of the Alumni Association and Foundation, to not only remind you about the availability of Shipmate electronically, but to offer you the option of no longer receiving the paper copy of Shipmate and merely getting the electronic version six times a year. I know that in this generation of, you know, people unlike me who still print out their boarding passes and baseball tickets, you know, that getting information electronically is a lot easier than having a paper copy of the magazine. We're going to make that option available to you in the coming weeks and the coming months. So if you want less clutter in your mailbox, if you don't need that paper copy of Shipmate, we will not only make it very clear where you can find the electronic version of Shipmate, but we'll also give you the option of opting out of receiving that magazine hereafter, as a means not only of you know, cleaning up your, you know, mail situation, but it also helps the Alumni Association and Foundation, to be very blunt, ladies and gentlemen, save money. So many of these Shipmates get mailed out and go to bad addresses. We've talked a lot about it with this Register of Alumni project. We're just trying anything and everything, not only to get you the content that you want in your alumni magazine, but get it to you in a relevant medium. And that relevant medium, you know, today and going forward is probably electronically. We are not taking away your paper magazine. We're just giving you the option of reading it in another medium. So that is where we're at. Be on the lookout for more updates there. Chris, I know I've already told everyone I'm going to play some golf tomorrow. My son is home from Temple for spring break. I drive him back to Philly on Sunday. And it's really big stress time here at the Schofield House. I know that you're going to be dealing with this with Ava, with your eldest daughter here soon. But William Schofield just got into the University of Colorado last night.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Colorado, Coastal Carolina, Oregon, LSU.
Wow.
And a couple of others, but his main two that he still hasn't heard from yet are Syracuse and UNC. So hopefully by next week, we've heard from Syracuse and UNC. That's how I am spending my weekend. Over to you, Chris, before we take this out.
Yeah, I think we've got some sports at our house. We've got soccer, we've got baseball, we've got flag football, and a little bit of golf on Sunday. So that'll be our weekend. So wish everybody else a pleasant weekend as the weather starts to get nice. I think we spring forward this weekend, right? Is that yeah. correct?
Yeah.
We also have a birthday. We also start a birthday week. My wife's birthday is Sunday, so happy birthday to Alon Cervello. And then my daughter Ava and Anthony, their birthday is next week, as well as my mom. So big week in our house.
Liz Cervello. I mean, she's now, what, turning 59, Liz Cervello?
Right. 59, yeah. She was 11 when she had me.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you have now seen the full scope of what Chris Cervello and I normally talk about at a bourbon bar. It goes everywhere from the Orioles to the ages of our parents to the Naval Academy to national defense, and that's what makes us the most interesting men, at least in our own worlds. For Rebecca Myers, thank you so much for her time bringing back my old student. For Grant Vermeer, good luck to him in the realty game and everything he's doing in Monterey. Our sponsors, Scott Melamed of ProMD Health, Scott Shooter of the Shrek Realty Group, and Scott Sloan of Stratascore. Congratulations to Stratascore, by the way, being a part of a big win in the cyber world of the Shark Cage contract. If you know what the Shark Cage contract is, go haze yourself. You're a nerd. But for Chris Cervello, I am John Schofield. What a great pod. We'll see you next week with Doug Wojcik and Max Bueno of the Midshipman Action Group. Until then, this is Sing Second. We are out.